Welcome to this Friday edition of Money Life with Chuck Bentley. Chuck is the CEO of Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck, today let's take our program and answer questions from the Money Life mailbag.
Well, I always like to do that, Dave. And today I also want to add a dimension where I try to show not only what I think is the wisest choice financially, but also the principles, the biblical principles behind those decisions. So there's not a disconnect between the financial behavior and God's Word. And I think today is going to be a very helpful day to try to do that.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, let's get started. The first question comes from a listener in Pismo Beach, California. She writes, I'm 55 years old and recently finished graduate school. My only debt is $30,000 in student loans, $9,800 at 2.75%, and the balance of the student loans at 5.375%. I have about $400,000 in a 401k and other investments. Question is, should I sell enough stocks to pay off all the student loans at once, or pay as much as I can each month from my income to pay off the loans as quickly as possible?
Well, Arlene, thanks for writing us, and I join Dave in congratulating you on finishing graduate school. That is not an easy accomplishment, and obviously you've done very well in order to be able to go back to school and do that. And also, congratulations on saving $400,000. That's not an easy accomplishment either. You know, there's so many different ways we could go with your question, but I want to kind of set up the biblical principle before I answer the question. And the biblical principle that you're really asking about is what to do with the debt. What does the Bible say about debt? And I like to refer to Proverbs 22:7 that says, just as the rich rule the poor, the borrower is servant to the lender. So the Lord says that he doesn't want anybody to be a slave to anyone else. And if you go into debt, then you could be a slave to your lender. Now, he does want us to be his slaves. And so we can't be his slaves if we're slaves to somebody else. So going back to your situation, Arlene, I would say, yes, pay off the student loan. Now, a financial planner may look at this and say, well, relative to your net worth and this $400,000 in other investments, that $30,000 is not going to lead to bondage. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that if you're able, you shouldn't carry debt of any kind, and you're certainly able to get out of this debt. So when we come back, I want to talk about some of your options of how to get rid of that debt. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Dave Ball, along with Chuck Bentley. Chuck, before the break, you were answering Arlene's question regarding paying off a student loan and really the biblical principle of the borrower being servant to the lender.
Well, as we said, Dave, we always want to tie in our financial decisions with God's financial principles, because when we're fulfilling his principles, that's when we're experiencing the most joy, we're getting to know him better, and we're moving towards being his servants. And the principle behind this answer is he wants us to serve him only. And so if we're encumbered with anything else in the world, it takes away or detracts from what he's able to do with us. So here's what I would say, Arlene, with that principle in mind, I would get out of the student loan debt and pay off the high interest balance first. So you owe about $21,000 at that higher interest rate. I would pay that one first. And then I would work on paying the lower interest rate next to get rid of the $30,000. And you have several options. If you have stocks that are not a part of a tax-deferred retirement plan, in your case, outside the 401k, you might consider selling those stocks and just paying off the student loans outright. Also, don't take cash out of that 401k if you can possibly help it. If you do, you'll have to pay federal, state, and local income tax. And you'll also owe the early withdrawal penalty if you're under 59 and a half years old. And that's 10% in almost every case. So for every $100 you withdraw, you'll pay $25 to $50 in taxes and penalties. So I wouldn't take it out of the 401k if at all possible. Also, I don't know what your debt is relative to your annual income. It sounds like with a graduate degree, you may be a good income earner. And if you are, then your debt is probably very relatively low to your annual earning potential. So if you can quickly eradicate it out of your cash flow, hang on to all of your investments, hang on to your 401k, but get rid of that debt.
That's good advice, Chuck. The next question comes from Matt, and he is in Illinois, and he writes, I have a friend who was saddled with a $10,000 credit card debt as part of a divorce settlement. However, he also received $12,000 in 401k assets from his wife. Can he take a tax-free, penalty-free disbursement of those funds to pay off the $10,000 in credit card debt, or should he leave those funds in a 401k account?
Well, something makes me think that by your question, your friend is fairly young. I guess it's the amount of debt and the amount of 401k that you said are in these accounts. So here's what I'm advising. If your friend is younger than 59 and a half years old, leave the money in the 401k and work at paying off the credit card debt in another way. If you take the money out of the 401k, you're going to pay the taxes and penalties, just like we said before, up to 50%. And so that's a big loss, but you also have the loss of future tax-deferred gains that money could have earned, far outweighing what it may cost you to pay off that $10,000 debt. So I think there's a much better way to reduce that debt. Number one is paying it out of your cash flow. Number two is just work on increasing your income so that it can be dedicated to paying off the debt. And three would be establishing a very manageable budget in order to dedicate all of your extra margin to get out of debt. Also, when you go through a divorce, you have something else that may work to your advantage to get out of this debt, and that is time. You have time that you haven't had in the past. So the scripture says to sow your seed in the morning, and in evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. And I would suggest to your friend that even if it takes two jobs, probably the best method is to use that available time to pay off that $10,000 in credit card debt.
Chuck, our next question comes from a single mom, and certainly those single parents in our audience have some unique needs, and this is no exception to that. She writes, I don't really have anything left for food after I pay my mortgage, car note, and utilities. Can you help me get my money straight?
Well, this is a tough question, and unfortunately one we're hearing all too often. Yeah. And it is a difficult day when you look at housing and transportation and utilities and you say, I don't even really have enough money left on to eat. But there is hope, and you actually always have enough money for food. It's just a matter of how you allocate that money. And so I want to help you and give you some specific steps that I think will, as you say, get your money straight. First of all, we just aired a program for single mothers, and I would recommend that you go online and listen to that broadcast and take advantage of those resources that we talked about. And next, I would go online and get plugged in with one of our Money Map coaches. It's absolutely free, it's simple, and they would love to help you. It's one of the finest services that we offer here because we've taken the hassle out of talking to a live person who's trained to help you get your money straight. Next, I would get plugged in at your local church, particularly get in a Crown Bible study if you can. When you're sure that you're handling your money correctly and as efficiently as possible, and if you still still can't cover these basic living expenses, then talk to the people in your church and ask them if they can help you get through some of the tight spots. You know, I was in a small group study at church with a person in a similar situation. She was a single mother of two, and she didn't have money for groceries, and she thought she was going to go through foreclosure. And she was just, she thought being in this small group study was the worst use of her time, that she needed to go out and get a third job. And actually, we began to pray for her. And one week, I remember she came back and she said, as she was checking out at the grocery store for that week's grocery, the person behind her said, "Ma'am, would you mind if I just bought your groceries?" And that never happened to her. And she had no idea why. And she started thinking, maybe that's because all of you were praying for me. So we were very encouraged by that. And then she said that she had actually moved in with her mother, and it looked like her house was going into foreclosure. Well, we kept praying and praying and praying. And she said, "Look, I'm upside down. I can't pay it off. A realtor doesn't even want to list it because there's no way that we can ever get my money out of it. I've just got to let it go." Well, we kept praying for her. And a couple of weeks into it, you wouldn't believe it, but she came with tears in her eyes and she said, "My next door neighbor called me because the house is completely abandoned. And there was a strange person going around and around our house looking in the windows. And he contacted the next door neighbor and said, 'Who owns this house? Because there's not even a sign in front of it anymore. It's just going into foreclosure.' He said, 'I really want to buy it.' He contacted this single mother, and before foreclosure, he paid her full asking price for her house, and she was right side up and back on her feet." You know, nothing is impossible with God. And as sad as these questions are, and as much as they wrench your heart, I just believe if you will do the things that we're talking about here, you too can call us back and share that kind of testimony with what God can do.
That's good news. Well, Chuck, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll answer more of your questions. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life with Chuck Bentley. Today we're answering your questions as we open up the Money Life mailbag. And Chuck, we'll take a question here from Laura, who lives in Virginia, and she is a rising college senior who will graduate with no debt because God provided a scholarship and she used some of her savings. Her question is, what should I look to save and invest in to be able to pay for graduate school?
Well, first of all, Laura, great job for getting your undergraduate degree on scholarship and saving some of your own money. By the way, those of you who are listening out there, it can be done. Mm-hmm. You just heard that student debt is not the only way to get through college. But Laura, let's talk to your particular question. You want to be able to save and invest to get through graduate school without debt, and that's an awesome goal. And I would say you probably need to limit your savings for additional schooling to something that's very liquid, like a CD or money market account. Since you have short-term plans to be back into school, you're going to need access to that money. Keep it safe. I wouldn't recommend you put it in any kind of risky investment at all. Secondly, I would look at getting a job in your field when you're going to graduate school. It's a great way to build your resume. It's a great way to pay for school. And also, it probably is going to set you up for a long-term career in your field if you demonstrate that you've got not only the education but also the experience in that field. And then consider more scholarships. Don't give up on scholarships just because you're going into graduate school. There's a great website called finaid.org, F-I-N-A-I-D, and it lists all the different options available for graduate school scholarships. And so look into that. You know, I was riding on an airplane. It seems like I meet a lot of people on airplanes. But I was riding on an airplane next to a lady who had been an accountant for about 10 or 12 years after she got out of school. And God put a dream in her heart that she wanted to go back to medical school. And she had a very specific reason for that. She loved animals and she wanted to become a veterinarian and go to the mission field as a veterinarian. And I thought, that's kind of odd. I've never heard of that. And she reminded me that most of the families that she would be serving, their entire net worth was wrapped up in their livestock or their what they owned in animals. And if she could help them stay healthy and prevent disease, then she would really be helping a family in a significant way. And she was very passionate about this dream. And she told me her story that she had no way to pay for medical school, and there was no way she could leave her career and just step into medical school full time. So she started praying about it and asking God to provide. And she got a call one day that said, I think I know a group that would want to sponsor you. This is so interesting what you're called to do. Call this person. And she said what was strange to her is that the person that she was supposed to call on the other end to ask for the scholarship, her name was Faith. And so she talked to Faith, and Faith said, what is it that you need? And she said, well, I need all my medical school paid for, and I need an income to live on while I'm going to medical school. And Faith said, how about 3 years that we cover you? Which took all of her, the stress away from her, because that was exactly what she needed. God provided no debt because she couldn't go to the mission field if she had debt. Mm-hmm. And so just ask God and he'll show you a new way.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story. You know, the next question, Chuck, comes from Jay in Atascadero, California. Here's a question. Do you know where that is?
I don't know where it's at. Do you know where it's at?
It's on the coast.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. Okay, Jay is a counselor, and he counsels couples who have a lot of debt, and especially vehicle debt. His question is, how should I advise someone who is upside down with their vehicle? The difference in what some of my families owe on their vehicle and what their vehicle is worth is over $5,000.
You know, this is actually a very serious problem right now. I just did some quick research on this, and here's what I learned, that in 2007, 1.5 million vehicles were repossessed. They're predicting a 10% increase in 2008. And 2007 was already a 10% increase over 2006. So there's going to be a 20% increase in growth of the number of vehicles that are being repossessed, and is climbing to the highest level in over a decade. So we're looking at an escalating problem with over 1.5 million vehicles repossessed every year. That's a lot of cars going back into the used car market. So let's talk about this one just a minute, because most people feel completely stuck when it comes to their cars. Here's some things that you can do before you walk away, or before you get your wheels towed away, before you go through that horrible experience of repossession. Number one is to sell and downsize. Now, if you think, all right, well, I'm upside down, what do I need to do? Well, hang on and keep making your payments until you're not upside down, and then you can sell and downsize. But that's the most logical, that's the best decision that you could possibly make, is to hang in there and don't give up and take that major, major hit. Number two is to renegotiate the loan terms. If you have traditional financing, then possibly your lender who doesn't want that car back, they will renegotiate with you if you're just straight up and say, I'm upside down, I need some help. And then number three, refinance with a totally different source, a totally different company. You're probably going to get hurt doing that if you have to refinance, but it's one way to avoid going under. Now, there's a couple of things you need to be sure to avoid, and one is to surrender the vehicle back to the dealer and ask them to resell it, because you're still probably going to owe the difference in the payoff, and they're not going to get the best price for you. Also, don't get talked into trading it in again and then rolling your negative balance over into a new loan. That's just going to put you further in the hole. There's a great website called bankrate.com, and they really help you understand the value of your vehicle, what the best financing terms are, and how you can help work yourself out of this upside-down situation.
Sure.
You know, with all these foreclosures, it's actually put a lot of inventory on the used car lots. And so prices are pretty soft for used cars right now. In fact, prices are pretty soft right now for gas-guzzling new cars. So I would recommend to those who want to get a good deal on a car, this is a great time to do it. And possibly if you're one of those that's upside down, maybe you just need to run an ad in the paper that says, I'm upside down, looking to make a good deal to get out of this car right now.
Well, you're listening to Money Life with Chuck Bentley. We'll take a quick break, and when we return, we'll be answering more of your questions from the Money Life mailbag.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life with Chuck Bentley, and we're answering your questions today. Chuck, we have just a few minutes left, and let's answer another question or two. This question comes from Joseph, and he is in Norwood, New Jersey. He writes, I've heard you talk about making money by writing blogs. I'd like to know how to do that. I have an interest in writing a devotional. In the past, I've written things and emailed them to my Christian friends, and they seem to like them. I really enjoy coming up with inspiring themes and then putting them into words.
Well, I'm really excited to get this question, Joseph, because here at Money Life, we want to help people learn how to make money. And your question certainly falls into that category. And it's a great way to do it and a really, really good question. Let me give you a couple of thoughts that come to my mind. First of all, when you write your devotional and send it out to people, I'm not sure you're going to get the best feedback from your friends. Write this devotional and try to send it to people who are not your friends or who will give it to a third party who don't know you, and let them give you some feedback. Also, find a blog where you can post some of your writing and then ask for honest feedback at the bottom from people who have never even met you. And that may really help you to hone in your skill. Also, there's a wonderful organization out there called the Christian Writers Guild. And you can join that organization. You can go to their conferences. You can find a mentor through that organization. And they will really help you with things that you will need to know about getting into that field. Also, there's a lot of organizations that need Christian content besides devotionals. If you will find out who those organizations are, then possibly you can write for them on a contract. You can write for their publications. But it's a great field. It's one where there's a lot of demand. You can do it from home. And if God's put that on your heart, then I'd suggest that you go for it.
Chuck, our next question comes from a listener in Knoxville, Tennessee, and she writes, my husband and I are both retired. We don't have a mortgage, but we do have $20,000 in credit card debt. We also have two condos, but we don't depend on the rental income to live. Her question is it wise to sell one of the condos and use the equity to pay off our credit card debt because one of our renters is interested in buying?
Well, I'm going to go back to our very first question of the day, and the principle was that the borrower is servant to the lender. So the answer is, yes, I would pay off the $20,000 in credit card debt. Now the decision is, should you sell one of your income-producing assets in order to do it? And I would say probably not the best idea. The market's soft. You're not going to get the best price for it at this point. And use that income from the rental unit to pay off your $20,000 in credit card debt and keep the asset and let it continue to appreciate in value and spin off more and more income. Now, here's what I don't understand. If you don't need that rental income to live, then why are you getting in credit card debt? Don't do this again. In other words, if you work to pay off this debt, just stop using those credit cards and live within your means and allow that rental income to pay off the debt and don't go back into credit card debt.
Well, thanks, Chuck. It's been a very inspiring program, an informational program. If you want to hear it again or if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear it by going to crown.org. Well, until next time, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.